Welcome to This Week in Testing. Today is Friday, the 21st of June, as we are today. A big thank you to those who keep coming back and to any new listeners on the call. You're all very, very welcome. You may notice I am not Simon Tomes. I am Ben Doan, and I will be your host for today as a special guest. Simon couldn't make it this week, and I have jumped in to take his place. I will do my best to do the excellent job that Simon does hosting the show. So This Week in Testing is an easy way for us to connect with each other without the pressure of turning on our cameras. You can listen in like a radio kind of podcast, listen to it in the background, or you can join in, come join us on stage a little bit later on and participate. And I know many of you who are coming back have done some great participations in the past. Just to let you know, this event is being recorded and will later be available on ministryoftesting.com/podcasts, a relatively new innovation and one that's very welcome. So first, I'm going to share some things that have been happening around the community this week. And if you want to post any links of your own things that are going on this week, feel free to post them in the comments on the show on LinkedIn. Then I'm going to give you, the audience, a chance to come up on stage and join me and talk to me about your week in testing and any topics that you might find interesting to discuss or any problems that you might pose for the group to help you solve. It's a great opportunity to meet each other and to talk through the week that you've had. And towards the end of the hour, I will remind you of some interesting upcoming events and things to look out for in the world of Ministry of Testing. And as always, you can keep the conversation going on the club, the Ministry of Testing Forum, and on LinkedIn. With the Ministry of Testing LinkedIn group, which do follow along, because the LinkedIn group does have questions and polls and things to say each day on a regular basis. So pay attention and get involved. So I'm going to start with what's happening. Let's have a look. Okay, we don't have Peter on the call at the moment, but last week Peter was telling us all about the preparations for the UEFA Euros app for the football. And perhaps if Peter joins us later, we'll ask how that's going a week or so in. That was a very interesting conversation in last week's This Week in Testing. We have a few things from the community. So shared by Core Manesh. I will be attending this event all the way from Ghana. I'm so excited. So that's talking about Test Bash UK in Brighton in September. So it would be great to hear from anyone on the call who's going to be going to Test Bash and to find out where you're going to be traveling from. That's going to be an exciting event later in the year. Rahul Powell, great friend of the community, great established person, and he's been celebrating his community star badge. Thanks for doing what you do, Rahul. Big love. Great thing to call out, we have we, as in the Ministry of Testing, have recently launched the continuous call for papers, so do go and take a look on the website. For those of you who don't know, a call for contributions, sometimes referred to as a call for papers, but a call for contributions is a way for you to put yourself forward to get involved doing things like I'm doing now and hosting a Ministry of Testing event, or doing talks or workshops and writing articles. There's all sorts of different things you can do to give back to the community and raise your profile. Do get involved. The continuous call for contributions process is pretty cool and innovative, actually. Go do check it out, because there are all sorts of different ways to get involved, and I'm pretty confident if there's a way that you want to get involved and it's not already listed, there's even a other thing you want to get involved with option, and you can let the Ministry of Testing know, and you can maybe make something new and innovative happen as well. So do have a look at that. There's some cool stuff you can join in with. Shout out to Mark Winteringham, whose new blog is live. We believe the first public mention that he now works for John Lewis. Oh my goodness. That's cool. Shout out to Mark.
I love how that's sinking in for you too in real time.
yeah, it is. Absolutely. So I've got some notes here from Simon I'm reading out, and I've had a quick glance through, but I'm going to pick up the highlights. Simon did a great job of prepping me for this. So I'm not going to claim to have studied the community all on my own for this.
It sounded like you were surprised. Yeah.
Absolutely. Okay, let's pick out a few more of these. I think we've got about another 5 minutes, and then I'm keen to get people up on stage, but there's loads more to call out. So Melissa Fisher needs to be hands-on in a leadership role. How about you? That's a great question. Perhaps we can pick up on that one. If anyone's in a leadership role and they're interested in talking about how hands-on versus hands-off leadership, that's a great topic from Melissa. Let me have a look at a few more. We've got some trends. How do you discover new tools to help you with your testing by AD Stokes? Let's have a little look at that. So that's a good question to pose to everyone else in the room as well. How do you do it? That's an interesting one. Read the full story. Okay, let's have a look. I'll take a look and we can come back to that one. Bit of a headline there, but not much detail. We'll get back to that, AD. Let's see what else we've got. We've got more testing trends from Rosie Sherry. Insights and data from the heart of software testing industry.
Yeah, I can give you a little lowdown on what trends is. That's something I can.
Oh, yeah, know. Absolutely.
So testing trends is... It is what it says there. It's insights from the community. So these polls that you see going live on LinkedIn, we collect the data from the polls and we turn it into snappy little articles summarizing what the community are talking about. So we've posed the question, how do you discover new tools that help you with testing? And loads of people have commented on that poll, as well as just completing the poll. So it's these new trends are an awesome way to get loads of tips and insights into how members of the community go about completing really interesting testing topics. So that is what they are. They are quite new, Ben, so don't feel bad about not knowing, because we've only been doing it for like a month now, but it is going really good. And AD is one of our trends writers, and it's actually something you can contribute to as well. We're looking for more trend writers.
Okay, well, in which case, check out the trends that are there, and if you think this is the kind of thing that you could be contributing to, yeah, jump on that. That's cool. So the one that was mentioned earlier from AD, how do you discover new tools to help you with your testing? And I'm sure these will end up in the respective show notes with these lists from Simon. Or big shout out, Simon produces the weekly newsletter, and I know he puts this stuff, great stuff in there. So this shows that there's a 75% result there for people finding out about new tools from the community. So looks like you've all been very active in sharing your knowledge about tools with each other, which is very, very cool to see. I like that a lot. A big fan of learning about tools from the community. And there's a whole bunch of detail there in the article, so do go check it out. Right, I'm going to do a bit of a time check. Got probably another 2 or 3 minutes worth of things to call out, and then I will start calling people up on stage to start having a think about your week in testing, and if you have anything you want to share. So what else we've got? We've got understanding the things we test with Callum Akehurst Ryan. Big fan of Callum. He's very, very cool at sharing his knowledge and his experience with the world. He's got a very cool brand that he puts out there as well, and has been a host and a speaker for Ministry of Testing a number of times. And this is a new blog post from Callum about understanding the things we need to test. And there's all sorts of here about ideas and requirements and code and features and tons of detail about the different things we need to test and understanding them. So that looks like a very useful blog from Callum. And Callum's great at focusing on the fundamentals. Big fan. What else have we got here? Let's pick out a few more. Automation. Everyone loves a good bit of automation. We've got have a boogie in the office. Celebrate those automation wins. So congrats to Sophie Postill and Ida for setting things up. Let's have a look at this one. Oh, cool. So this is a post via LinkedIn from Sophie. If you're not following Sophie, get on that. Sophie Postill, lead QA at Vvox. That's a cool one. And she's posting, why did our Vvox QA team have a little boogie in the office today? We hit a milestone with test automation. For a small company with a very lean manual team, it can be quite a daunting task integrating test automation, choosing the right framework tools, rewriting test cases, getting help. And then, of course, there's the maintenance. So, yeah, great celebration there, a boogie in the office with Sophie and Ida. So that is great to celebrate wins in the community. And we have a couple of people completing their test automation certificate. Greg McKenna earned the Ministry of Testing Foundation certificate in test automation. Big round of applause for Greg. And Ella Vavarene earned the MOC Intermediate Certificate in Test Automation, having already earned the foundation back in February. So congratulations to Ella. And let's pick a final one because there's so many things here. Simon has left me such a treasure trove of information. We could literally talk the whole hour, but I won't. Let's pick one last one. Here we go, a community guide to shift left and shift right. Let's take a look. Oh, cool. So we have another one of the Ministry of Testing's collections. These collections are fantastic because they give you, based on a topic or a theme, a curated collection of different articles, previous Test Bash talks, all the different kind of things that you can get to from Ministry of Testing bundled into kind of one themed collection of stuff. And this is a new one on the community guide to shifting left and right. So there's all sorts of things here, including one from the fantastic Louise Gibbs, an experience report, shifting left challenge with Louise Gibbs. And that's a one for the pro members, but there are also some free stuff on here as well. So there's an Ask Me Anything about shifting left and right with Marcus Morell and lots of other great stuff. If you haven't seen the collections before, best way is you can either go to ministryoftesting.com/collections, or I believe, yes, there is. If you take a look at the footer on the Ministry of Testing website at the bottom, under Learn, collections are one of the links. So you can get to it that way as well. There are some fabulous different collections out there, so don't miss out. It's a great way of discovering content on the site. Okay, I'm going to leave the rest of those fabulous things that the community have done to let Simon put those in the newsletter and get back to the excellent opportunity for yourselves, which is this is the time to get some of you folks on stage. So don't be shy. All you have to do on LinkedIn, if you want to join in, is you should be able to choose the option to raise your hand, and then Sarah can help bring you up onto stage, and you can ask a question, tell us how your week's been. Al, good man, do you want to come up? I wonder if I can accept you up. No, I think I'll have to let you do that one, Sarah.
I was trying.
Welcome on the stage, Al. If you unmute, you could maybe tell us, how's your week in testing been? Give it another go, Al. I think you're still muted there on LinkedIn. Okay, Al, while you find the unmute button, we have another hand up. Christine, hello. Welcome to this testing.
Hello, everyone. And Al, please go in when you find the unmute button. I thought I used the chance to also come up. I had a quite productive week. I went to a lot of meetups, not so many in testing, sadly, as I think the summer's approaching. It's just getting hotter and hotter, and a lot of people go out. But I had a lot of meetings about AI this week. So my thoughts were a lot this week, how AI can help us in testing, how AI can be augmented to help us and not replace us. So that was my thoughts this week. It was very interesting to see the different approaches for people, and the new, all like this week was all about these things, and also how to use ChatGPT as a very simple one for creating test scenarios or helping with I learned a new thing today, finding typos. Basically give a URL in and then let ChatGPT figure out where a typo mistake is. I found it very interesting.
That's brilliant. I've noticed that a lot of tools that were previously spell checking grammar tools like Grammarly or similar have now started to have more and more features that they're calling AI to help you generatively write things as well as correct things. I wonder how they compare those deliberate tools versus the more general tools like ChatGPT. It's an interesting one.
I think they would be better in like formulating, because ChatGPT is still like in creating something. I'm not using that often. It's more like I put something in and say, spell check it for me or something, because it's still English is my second language. But it's still, if it writes from itself, it always sounds like a robot. I'm not sure if you guys had the experience as well, but it is very not human. And I think like Grammarly and stuff is paying a lot of attention to readability. So I hope this is going to be better in that case.
Yeah, I wonder if a lot of tool vendors are out there thinking the same thing you were just thinking about, how can we use AI to augment our tool rather than replace our tool?
Yeah, I found also interesting, I think it was Rosie who shared something on LinkedIn about how AI influences communities and how are we actually using AI for communities. I think it was Rosie. And it was very, I read that and I read some of the comments and I was really like, yeah, AI is still a robot. It's still not like a human. I'm not sure if I would like to have a community manager AI for the engagement, but I believe AI can help with like scheduling or like making like summaries of community meetings if they are online and help with that. But I still believe having a real human to give you this like personal feedback or the collaboration or the thinking on all these things, we will still need a human. But I believe we should use AI to help with these more, what are they called, organizational things.
Oh, that's really interesting, isn't it? Yeah, that sounds like it brings together Rosie's world very, very well. So I'm not surprised she's speaking on the topic. That's very cool. So please feel free to stay on stage, Christine, and continue to join with the conversation. Al, we've got you back on stage. Is your audio working? You still need to get yourself unmuted on LinkedIn, Al, if you're struggling there. Perhaps you could try a different device.
I can keep going on my thoughts if we have a problem with mute.
Yeah, let us know when you've managed to unmute, Al. Christine, yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. And if you have any questions for the audience, go ahead as well.
Oh, I think my question's for the audience, because I see Rosie and also the Ministry of Testing using LinkedIn very, like, I find it very engaging and very interesting, but I would like to know if you guys, like, where do you get your, where are you mostly engaging with content? Is it like the club in Ministry of Testing? Is it like Reddit? Is it Twitter? Or is it LinkedIn, I used to be a lot of on Twitter, but I now more focused on LinkedIn just like naturally, because maybe I just could not, like, it's not enough words in Twitter for me. But I would love to know, like, what is the community, the people who are here listening also on LinkedIn, are you guys engaging with content more there? Or like, where are you finding the spaces to talk about things related to testing or, yeah, stuff like that?
That's a great question. So have a think, everyone in the audience. Where are you engaging with the community? Where are you having your conversations? Al, I can hear you. You're finally on stage. How is your week in testing?
It's been really interesting. On having recently changed jobs, for anybody that hasn't been following my trials and tribulations, and one of the things that I've been doing recently is putting together a test approach, which is something that I, God's honest, haven't ever had to do before because... Well, I don't know why, but it's not necessarily been something that I've ever had to remotely consider. And working and making it clear to owners of the business about what it is that we're covering, how we're covering it, the kinds of testing that we're going to be doing, and how we're going to be handling defects, and how we're going to be also sharing the information. So, not just reports like these number of tests passed, these number of tests failed, defects, all that good stuff, but also how we push information out to people to basically help them make good informed decisions. So that's been quite interesting. In terms of, getting that off the ground and actually socializing that. So that's been the first thing. The second thing has been investigating a tool for performance testing that I haven't, don't really do programming, but I have spotted a gap in what we're current and how we're currently kind of what we're testing for, and then kind of suggesting a performance testing tool for Python, which is the go-to language for my organization, which has been, again, in the tool selection process, which I kind of followed the foundation certificate guidance that Ministry of Testing put together for their automation thing. So anybody who is thinking about test automation, one of the things that they do in the foundation certificate is go through the process of tool selection, which is quite useful, a quite useful fundamental element of, you know, when you think about what language is it written in, how easy is it to pick up, what you can get going in a time-boxed situation, like about half an hour. As I said, because I didn't code, I used my trusty friend ChatGPT to create the code in order to actually try it out. After this after this call, I'm going to be sat down with one of the testers and actually talking through what actually I've got, what I found, and whether or not it can be used. Because this particular person, being an automator, understands Python far better than I will, and we're able to at least help validate and take forward anything that I find out. So it's been really the two biggies. But also, I guess adjacent to that is Melissa's thing about how hands-on. Actually, that's something that I didn't realise that I missed in my previous role in previous work, was not actually being involved in what you would call project work. And this role that I am now in, there's actually the opportunity to get stuck in and do exploratory testing, which is very much my bag, and help leading and showing how that can be done to best effect. So a busy week, but a good week.
Oh my goodness, Al, thank you so much for sharing. You've been busy doing all the things, the leadership, the AI and the automation, all in 1 week.
I know. I didn't want to turn it into a box ticking exercise, but yeah, it's just how it happened. Yeah.
Well, testers and ticking boxes, it's I guess an occupational hazard.
Quite, yeah. But it has been really insightful certainly in regards to the tool selection, because I openly admitted that I started with a tool that was written in another language, and of course rapidly realised that wasn't going to be the way to go, because I'm immediately putting a barrier or raising the bar for the team in a language that of course isn't their day to day. And that's the interesting thing about one thing about tool selection and approaches, actually, is to lower the bar and make it as accessible as possible to the people that are going to need to use it. So an important consideration.
Absolutely. The most useful tool is the one you have. Everything else is just planning for the future. And I'd be really interested to know, Al, to Christine's question from earlier on, how you engage with community, where you're going, and maybe whether you have seen any AI in the community, as in AI engaging in the community or supporting community, or if you think that's a good idea.
I think it is, but heavily caveated. So leveraging AI within the community, I think that for a lot of us who may work in industries where intellectual property and or security is an important consideration. I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only person that, when they join a company, have to do a lot of mandatory training about cybersecurity and awareness and AI and all that good stuff. The caveat being is that you can engage with it, but you have to engage with it carefully. So I made sure that when I was undergoing the investigation that I did, was to ask very generic questions and not tie anything back to the thing that I was actually doing, or exposing any code or anything remotely that could be any endpoints, for example, things like that. I mean, the list goes on. You could have an entire workshop on how to engage with ChatGPT and what not to tell it, because of course it will use anything you supply, it will use, of course, in the answers to somebody else's questions. So, the internet has the internet, and therefore ChatGPT, has a very long, have a very long and involved memory.
Fascinating. So I don't know if you have any more thoughts to add to that, Christine, or if there's anyone else in the audience who wants to join us to talk more about any of the topics or introduce a new one.
I think you're completely correct when it comes down to NDAs and security, and we have to definitely think about how our future will look like engaging with that. To either, I don't know if it will be more common to have AI's instances on the company sites as well, or if it will be more common that exactly what you are doing, you're asking a more general question to not give the data protected information out, but then also you get a very general answer and you have to still change that around. I don't know what the future will be like, but I see myself a lot of, in especially bigger companies, you will get your own instances and on your, like on your own company server, and you will engage with that and it learns specifically on your own product to have then also specific knowledge, because the products are so huge and in AI to know all of this and like also give you the right feedback. But then obviously you have to be careful with hallucination as well. It still tries to imagine things which are not always correct.
Absolutely. Oh, cool. So we have Natalia joining us on stage. Natalia, how has your week in testing been?
Hi, Ben. Yeah, it was interesting. Similar to Al's in terms of thinking about testing approach, but my challenge is think about testing approach for absolutely new architecture that we do. And I'm not working directly with a team, but I volunteered for this challenge because I thought that would be great opportunity to learn and also work cross-functionally. It's been great. I think the highlight for this week is I had kind of like a first meeting with stakeholders. So there would be like engineering managers, heads of engineering. That we don't usually do because the structure is quite flat. But this time I have decided to establish kind of understanding how we communicate and what's the expectations, and have a meet on a monthly basis and see the progress and what would be the goal to achieve this month. So a bit more predictable rather than, oh, we worked a month on something and you come to meeting and say, oh, but didn't you supposed to do this? Or yeah, which was actually a good moment. We realigned what we're actually doing, because the understanding from stakeholders that we're going to be doing one thing, but I said, no, we're doing this thing to help us to go there and not just do things there. So that was a good one. Another thing that was a good, that I realized in order to do this work across teams that I'm not working day-to-day basis, I have to rebuild my support network. So it's a little bit based on the book that I read. I think it was mentioned somewhere on the conference, First 90 Days. But it's not that you're unique to the company. I thought, let's see whether there is something that I'm missing in my current role and something that I can kind of like see from outside. And one of the things that it actually talks a lot about your supporting network. So I thought, because my current one, like you're more like team, but when you work on different level, like between teams and you work with like heads of engineering, your network is a bit different. You should engage different people and kind of like go outside. So I was rebuilding this, now rebuilding this network, engaging more people, having some more one-on-ones, like sharing and leading. So it was actually great. I feel much better because at the beginning I had no clue how to approach. But I had a couple of workshops with teams. They kind of share their knowledge, and then I kind of like have an idea of what to do next. So it was interesting. I don't have much to add on AI because I like somehow I'm not using that much. I mean, writing the like testing approaches, I have to think like specifically. So I know some people write like strategies well, helping with the help of the AI, but I try to be more authentic as possible, like and then so yeah, sorry about that. But yeah, that was my week. Quite good.
Wow, it sounds like you've had an excellent week. I can totally relate to stakeholder management being both important and hard work that requires its own support network. That's very relatable. And it's amazing how busy you are doing that kind of work, like how much effort it actually takes. It's like, feels like, I know sometimes I feel when I'm not writing code or producing reports or finding new, I don't know, like finding issues or whatever, it somehow doesn't feel as productive, but it's almost more important because those foundational things you're doing now, without that glue work, you could almost say, without that kind of communicational stuff, like you say, you end up heading in the wrong direction. So yeah, some really good leadership there. I love that.
Yeah, thanks, Ben. Yeah, I have, I think I can relate to that. I have that, that also feeling if you're not doing like a technical stuff, you're not productive, or you're not like bringing the value, what, like, how you feel. I think it may be something left from me from all the roles, right? Because at the minute, my role is more like based on kind of consultant approach. And I do as well some stuff for my team, which I have to fix now, fail and test, and my branch. But it's more as well communicating, I guess, to my team and to stakeholders on my role. So like even the example when I came to the team for the workshop saying like, I want to define this playbook of base expectations, like how we do testing. That's a bare minimum. And that's my goal, and implementation later will come. So they know that this is the first phase, and later we might do it together. They might do it on their own if they're feeling to take ownership. Or I'll do if I have time. So, but yeah, it's a bit of internal battle to kind of reframe where your value comes and what time.
Absolutely, absolutely. What excellent conversations we're having so far today. Just doing a little bit of a time check. We've got about 20 minutes left. Do feel free to stay on stage, Natalia. If anyone else wants to get up and have their say on any of the topics so far, or just tell us a little bit about your week in testing, how's it gone, or if there are any important topics for you, now would be a great time to put your hand up. There's probably about enough time for maybe one or maybe maximum two more people to come on stage. So don't miss your opportunity to join the conversation. If you've been listening in and feel that you've got something to say, now is your chance. Al, have you got any thoughts about the topics Natalia was raising there about that kind of stakeholder management? It sounds like your world at the moment.
Yeah, actually, fantastic that somebody else is also, I'm sure other people on the call are as well, that somebody else is talking about creating test approaches. I mean, spoiler alert, I mean, I work with Callum, so he's, some of the things that he's blogging about around and creating documentation around test approaches is quite topical for my paradigm. It's interesting that I was in with the project leadership team yesterday. Doesn't time fly? And I think the interesting thing with talking about test approaches is, and one of the big takeaways is, make it relevant to the people that you're effectively, you know, presenting to. So for this particular team, I had product owners, I had delivery, a product owner, a couple of product owners and delivery lead, or a couple of delivery leads on the call. And for them, what I needed to convey to them wasn't the nitty-gritty about, and when we find a defect, this is how we will raise it, this is how it will be handled, etc. What they needed to understand was, we've got a process for dealing with defects, and this is how we're going to need to interact with you so that you can help with any triaging. And the same thing goes for, and when we find any information out that creates uncertainty, this is what we need from you in order to deal with any uncertainty, in order to tell us yes, no, or ask any other questions. So I think sometimes with stakeholder engagement, it's also managing your stakeholders as well, in terms of getting the getting them the information that they need to make decisions that, you know, for the business, but also making sure that you get not just their buy-in, but their engagement in terms of how they play a part in the approach.
Yeah, that's great, Al. I think it's too easy to forget that you really need to be clear with your stakeholders what you need from them, not just what you can give to them. That's great. So a couple more people joining us on stage. Lena, do you want to introduce yourself and welcome to This Week in Testing? How has your week been?
Hi, thank you. My week was great. Thank you for asking. I'm actually setting up a new team now, and it has been a challenge. And related to that, actually, I had a question to the community that I would like to also hear their thoughts and ideas. Which is, I'm hiring a full team of QAs, a brand new team for the company. And I tend also to look for juniors, like with no previous experience in quality assurance, because I believe that it's a lot about the person itself, not about the hard skills, and I trust that people can evolve. So, of course, I will have more senior people, but I will have a couple of juniors. And I have been preparing during this week an onboarding list for them with the tasks like what I would expect them to learn or do during the first day, first week, first month, and then first 3 and 6 months. And I split that into the knowledge about quality assurance, the more theory, and then, of course, some practical exercises that I would like them to do in order to understand better the product and also understand better the techniques. And I also classified those tasks into self-management tasks, so they are expected to do that by themselves, or they are expected just to engage with someone in order to get some help and also start interacting with other people and other roles. And that way, I expect them also to know exactly like who or what role can provide them the information that they need. But considering that there are a lot of people that are transitioning to quality assurance now and then that do not have any previous experience, I was wondering what the community would suggest to do more in order to be able to give the proper onboarding to these people and also give like the initial training, because I believe that no matter how many courses we do until we actually need to test something for real, it's hard to grasp that those challenges. So yeah, I was wondering what the community would suggest to do.
Oh, I absolutely love that question, and I am really excited for your new QAs coming on board and learning with you, because it sounds like you've put some really, really great detailed thought into their onboarding. And I think more could be out there about how to onboard new people into testing and quality assurance that already exists. I think that would be a really great question to also post onto the Ministry of Testing Club, if you're not already on there. It's club.ministryoftesting.com. I know this is the kind of topic that people will jump on that.
I'll do that. Thank you for the suggestion. Actually, yeah, that's a great idea. I didn't think about it, but I will definitely do it.
Yeah, that's a great topic. And welcome to the stage, AJ. AJ, how has your week in testing been? And do you want to continue any of these great conversations, maybe about onboarding and leadership, or do you want to go in a whole new direction?
I think, first of all, to answer your first question, Ben, sorry. my name's AJ. I'm speaking from the UK at the moment. I'm really fascinated by Lena's topic because I think it's something that a lot of companies don't do very well when it comes to onboarding testers or quality engineers. Sometimes it's very much bums on seats, and that's obviously not what we want. We want the human aspect, right? One of the things that I found works really well is creating a toolbox. So for anyone onboarding, whether they're experienced or not, like kind of what the standards are for where you're working. If you work shift left, for example, what would be your toolbox, regardless of what level of tester you are or quality engineer? And then what also you would expect from a quality aspect from developers, what would you expect them to maybe partake in the boot camp, making that time in the first 4 to 6 weeks, again, depending on the needs of the individual and your team. Things not just technical, but behavioral, and things that will help them. If you're interviewing someone, hopefully you've asked them about facilitation experience, for example, and that's a really important part of stakeholder management, which feeds into what you were talking about earlier. That toolbox can be whatever the needs are of the quality assessment at the time. So if you feel, Lena, that in that team, imagine you're testing a website that sells trainers, do they have enough e-com experience? Do they know how to look at dev tools? They might have lots of great performance testing experience, but not used it in a front end space. So just having a look at the toolbox, what tools do you need for the first 6 weeks for this person to help them feel more comfortable, engaged? Who can you pair them with that has that experience? Who can be their little buddy in that respect? Who knows how to use that tool really well? And when I say tool, I don't just mean software. I'm talking about risk storming, facilitation, agile coaching, and whatever is relevant to the context. That's always worked for me, if that helps.
That is great. Thank you so much. Yeah, definitely. And a buddy can definitely make a huge difference. I remember when I just started and I felt so alone in my first 2 weeks. And I just wish I would have someone. And then luckily, I requested the company to provide me someone who could guide me and somehow also mentor. And this made a huge difference in my growth as well.
Yeah,
thank you. All great suggestions. I was noting everything down.
Yeah, it doesn't have to just be a test buddy. It could be a culture buddy as well. Like sometimes feeling like you belong, especially when you join a company, and having someone that can just be like, this is how to get the best discounts here. This is where we get our coffees from. Just having that kind of
precisely, yes,
as well, is really important. I think sometimes people forget about the human aspect again. They just want them to learn as much as possible about the domain and onboard quickly so they can crack on. But it works hand in hand.
Definitely. One of my biggest fear was, since I'm hiring an entire team, is that we could lose the culture somehow of the company, or that I could not pass this culture just me working with them. And I think that having buddies assigned can help with that. It regardless of their role, just explain how we usually act in different situations, what are our values, and also show them with examples. And yeah, definitely show them around, introduce people and all those things. I think it's crucial.
Having a safe space for them as well is equally as important, because you don't know what their interactions were like before they joined the company or how they worked in the detail. So having like a round table, like in Slack or Teams or whatever tool you use, where you can just go, I don't really know where to find this information, who can help me quickly? Because they might not be confident enough yet to ask in an open space, in another open channel. So having that kind of like safe space just for your testers is really important as well.
I love all of that so much, and I love it all so much. I'm going to remind you both again about the continuous call for contributions, because I would absolutely love to either hear you, either of you or both of you together on stage or in an article doing something to talk more about onboarding testers and setting them up for success, because it's such a cool topic and I think one that has not enough material out there. I think there's definitely people who would benefit from that. So thank you both very much for discussing it. So we have Alexander with, did I say that right? I will double check. With your hand up, let's bring you onto stage and ask about your week in testing. I think you will be the last one, my friend, coming on stage. And then after that, we will have to start saying our final words and wrapping up.
I am clicking to come on stage and it is not playing well.
Oh no, technical issues.
Maybe there's a limit. I can maybe quickly jump off.
That's okay, though I don't think we're hitting any limits. And we've a few people have dropped off, so we should be okay.
I don't even want you to drop off. How do you drop off?
Oh, we have you on stage. Alexander, welcome. How is
your testing? I think you can hear me right now.
Yes, yes we can.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. It was a little bit of technical issues. Hi, everybody. I want to share a little bit information about the question that we are talking about, like onboarding, a little bit of advices that I can give. So the first of all, if we are talking about hiring not a single tester, but a team of testers, and especially the newcomers who are just entering the field of testing, one of the first thing that we as experienced people can do is to teach people how to ask questions and how to answer questions. What I mean by that is when you are asking questions, you don't know how to do it, the first thing is you can ask, for example, I have a problem, or I can't run this script or this program or whatever. But the better way of asking questions is to describe the problem, describe what you have already done, what you checked, what worked, what not, and then like describe the context, and then ask a particular question. So I can say that the one of the best blog posts that I read on this topic were from the blog from Julie Evans. I can share it in the after the chat. So it's really nice blog posts and has a lot of insights. So yeah, that's the first thing for an onboarding. And the second thing is you can also answer one person at a time, but also it is possible to do like a mob testing session or mob ask me anything sessions where you can gather few people and answer a lot of questions at once and like foster the knowledge sharing among the team. So that's two things that I can add here.
That's great. Some great additions there. Thank you very much for joining in. Right, just doing a little time check, and with 5 minutes to go, we are nearly ready to wrap up. But I will just ask those lovely people of you who are still on stage, do you have any final words for the lovely community who are here listening today? Natalia, do you want to say any final words?
Yeah, Simon, you caught me. I'm finishing lunch, but no worries. Sorry, Ben. I didn't know why Simon was in my hat. I think just this is like the best hour on Friday for me. Obviously, it's a lot of nice things on Friday, but it's a really nice to chat. So please come in back and discover all these topics, bring your topics, and we all learn a lot. And it's really kind of like giving the next thinking how we can do. How we can improve, but yeah, so please come back.
Very kind words, and I'm biased, so of course I agree completely. Lena, any final words?
I would love just to thank for these great ideas, and I would like to state again the importance of brainstorming. This week in testing is amazing place, but we have so many other spaces where we can just do brainstorming, and I feel that it's so powerful for us to just bring a question, state our, I don't know, difficulties or things that we are facing, challenges, and having this community and this Friday sessions has been very, very powerful and very inspiring. So thank you, Ben, also. I know that you are always here. Also to Simon, who usually does that, to Sarah, to AJ, and to everyone who also helped me and all of other testers with this brainstorming. I think this is what I love about QA. This is what I love about IT, is this powerful networking and help that we always can get. Thank you so much.
And thank you very much. Some great questions and great contributions from you as well today, Lena. Thank you very much for joining in. AJ, any final words?
Don't forget to wear sunscreen.
Very, very timely advice. Absolutely vital. Love that. Alexander, any final words?
Just to do not forget to rest. The weekends are there.
Absolutely. Really love that absolutely genuine, absolute gold life advice there at the end. Very, very great. Yes, absolutely. Right, let me wrap up with a few things to remember for the upcoming week. One very cool thing is next week on Thursday, the 27th of June. Next week, if you're listening live, if you are listening to the recording, who knows? Maybe it already happened. We have episode 4 of The Testing Planet, The Practitioner. Check that out on the events page on ministryoftesting.com. And we've got some absolutely fantastic sessions coming up, including some of the fantastic people you've heard from today. So AJ and Christine are both going to be helping present The Testing Planet news. We've got Tristan Lombard introducing previously on Testing Planet, a great friend of the community, Tristan. We have some bringing equality and risk to the organization with Baron, who, those of you who don't know, is the kind of inventor of the risk storming cards. Always great to hear from Baron, great guy. And we have a couple of other sessions, including the value of communities of practice with Beth Marshall and Alex Reynolds. That is going to be gold. And finally, a cosmic conversation about the advantages of communities of practice with Drew and Klaus. That's going to be very, very cool. So, yeah, next week, do tune in to The Practitioner Testing Planet episode 4. What else we got? We've called them out already, but do remember to go and check out the club if you want to continue the conversation from today. You can also have a search at some of the stuff that's there. There's some absolute gold on many, many topics, from automation to leadership to communities of practice and everything in between. Plenty of stuff on there from the previous 30 days of AI. So lots and lots of great things to go and catch up on the club if you have not been there before. Also, MOT Slack is back. For those of you with a Ministry of Testing professional membership or ultimate membership, the Ministry of Testing Slack is a thing. Go check out ministryoftesting.com and find out more about how to get involved on that. If you're not already on the newsletter, Simon every week does a great job of putting together a newsletter with all the kind of things we had in the roundup first thing at the top of the call, but oh, many, many more than we could get to on the call. Do sign up for the newsletter to keep up to date with various things from the testing community. And a shout out, oh my goodness. Did you realize it is only 83 days to go to Test Bash Brighton in September? So for those of you who have not already got your ticket, now is the time. Go make your business case to your boss. Go and find out all the details on ministryoftesting.com. And finally, remember to ask questions. Remember to get involved in all the different places you are in the community, and enjoy. So thank you very much. This has been Ben Doan with the Minshift Testing for this week in testing. Have a great week.